New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew chapter 16, as he was addressing his apostles, "Upon this rock I will build my church." As I look into the Word of God about the church, it is a fantastic subject. It's a wonderful subject. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." We need to study what the Bible says about the church. The world is confused about the church. The world has worldly headquarters. They've adopted worldly names. They've changed the name of the church, the doctrine of the church. They've changed the plan of salvation of the church. We must realize that God speaks concerning the church. He planned it from before the foundation of the world. And it behooves us to walk the line and follow the line and be according to God's plan when it comes to the church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." The Bible says in Romans 16:16, "The churches of Christ salute you." And in the second chapter of the book of Acts and verse 47, we have the first mention of the church as having been established. And the Bible says, "And the Lord added unto the church daily, such as should be saved." What do you understand about the church? What is the church? You say, "Well, I've heard about the church all of my life." A very interesting thing happened the other day, ladies and gentlemen. I sat down to my computer. I have 30 translations of the Bible. I called up the King James Bible and decided I would put her on the search mode. And you can type in a word or a series of words and hit search, and the computer with its computation will search the entire spectrum of the Bible for that term or for that word or for that phrase. And so I typed in a series of words and hit the search and searched the entire Bible, all 66 books. I searched the 39 books of the Old, the 27 of the New, all 66 a total. And so I typed in the word Protestant. Of course, this is a very interesting term in our society. We hear about the Protestant church. We hear about Protestant churches. And so I called up the King James Bible. I could have called up any one of the translations and typed in Protestant and Protestant church in the computer. And I hit the search. And the computer searched all 66 books of the Bible and said zero hits. Nowhere in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the way through Malachi, and nowhere Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the way through Revelation, is the word Protestant or Protestant church ever mentioned at all anywhere in the Bible. And as far as I know, it's not mentioned anywhere in any Bible in the text that has ever been printed. I thought, well, I'll try the term Catholic church. And we're not knocking, we're just searching for truth. We're trying to find out what God would have us to believe. And so I typed in Protestant or Protestant church and found no hits. Then I typed in Catholic or Catholic church and hit search. And my computer searched the entire spectrum of the Bible, all 66 books, and said no hits. Not only no hits for Protestant, but no hits for Catholic. I thought, well, while I'm doing this, I'll type in some more. And so I typed in Baptist church, and I hit the search mode, and the Bible searched for Baptist church, just like it did Catholic or Protestant, from the book of Genesis right through Revelation, and there were no hits whatsoever. The word Baptist church is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. Then I typed in Methodist church, and the same thing happened when I hit search. It searched 66 books of the Bible, all of the Old and every chapter, every verse, every line of the New, and nowhere Methodist. And so therefore, what we're going to have to do in love is to go back and re-study this situation and find out what the Bible says about the church. What is the church? We know the church is the body of Christ. We know Jesus founded the church. We know that we're added to the church by the Lord. We know that Jesus said he was going to build it. We know that the church was built upon the rock. The Bible tells us about the church. It gives us the identification for the church, the ordinances of the church, the doctrine of the church, how to get in the church, and what the church is all about. As we look at the subject of the church in our modern society, and then compare it with the Bible, nowhere in the Bible does the term church relate itself to cathedrals or large temples or buildings. Nowhere in the Bible does it associate itself with individuals that distinguish themselves by the clothes or the robes or the caps or the garb which they wear. You see, Christianity is altogether different from what we see portrayed as Christianity in the world today. Back as we go to the beginning, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the manger. And it was born, and Christianity was born, and Jesus was born, and they were very humble beginnings. But when the money started coming in and the institutions started growing, man came in and changed the entire thing. And so what we need to do is to get back and study the Word and see what the Bible says about the church, about the wonderful church Jesus built. What does the Bible say about the church that Jesus said He was going to build upon the rock? As we look into the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 8, we find that the church, the kingdom of God, was in the mind of God before the world was created. We often wonder what's the purpose of the sun and the moon and the stars. The purpose is the Lord's church and the Lord's kingdom. We wonder what's the purpose for the ebbing and the flowing of the seas. What's the purpose of this entire world we see around about us? It's God's plan. God never created the seas just to prove that He could create water. God never put the stars in motion just to prove that He could create stars. They're there for times and seasons and months and years, but it's a part of God's plan. And the plan was to eventually send His Son to die for the sins of the world and arise from the grave and that His church be founded. And when Jesus comes back, He's coming back after one institution. He's coming back after His kingdom church. And so we better be serious about the church. Someone said the church is not important. Well, from the standpoint, ladies and gentlemen, of the biblical description of the church is the only thing that is important. You're saved within the Lord's church. That is, if you're saved according to the teachings of the Bible, and you're lost outside of the Lord's church. There's no salvation except in the Lord's church, in the Lord's church kingdom, and so it is important. The church means everything. The body of Christ means everything. And so therefore the church is not temples and cathedrals and gold crosses and images. All of these have been melted down from various influences of paganisms and the traditions of men. But Christianity had a humble beginning from the manger, and it was humble for that first 100 years until man got in there, until money grabbing started. We need to go back to the humble beginning which we find the church had in the first century. In Revelation 13:8, as we spoke before, the Bible says clearly that Jesus Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world. That is, before the foundations of this world were ever laid. It was in God's plan that Jesus Christ die for the sins of the world. Then we have a powerful beginning of prophecy concerning the future Messiah as we come into the book of Genesis. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There's not one proof of evolution whatsoever anywhere in the world. Evolution has not been proven. Not one point of evolution has been established. Darwin even realized that, I understand, at the end. Yet evolution is almost a rule of law in America today, but it is totally unfounded. There's no truth whatsoever to evolution. God instantaneously created the world. The Bible says in the beginning God created the world. Then in the book of Colossians, the Bible teaches that by Christ everything was made that was made, and nothing was made that was made without Him. And so God created the world. And then as we come to the third chapter of the book of Genesis in verse 15, sin is already making its entrance into the world. And God was dealing with the devil there in the garden some 4,000 or 5,000 years before Christ. And God said to the devil, "The seed of the woman will bruise your head." Many of you Bible students have heard this passage over and over. This is a clear reference to the future coming of the Messiah. This is the reference to the future coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches there in the garden that Satan had created havoc. Both Adam and Eve fell away from God. Adam is called the Son of God, the physical Son of God in Luke chapter 3, and he fell. And God was dealing with Satan, and God said to Satan, "The seed of the woman is going to bruise your head." You'll bruise his heel, but he'll bruise your head.
He was talking about the judgment that Jesus was going to bring down on Satan because of what he had done. This was prophesying the future kingdom. This was prophesying what Jesus was going to do in establishing his church. You see, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And God started planning it from before the foundations of the world. And then when sin came in the garden, God spoke up and referred to his plan. And he said, 4,000 years before it happened, 4,000 years plus before it happened, he told the devil, "The seed of the woman," that's Jesus, "the seed of the woman will bruise your head." And Satan received a head wound when Jesus arose from the grave. He received a head wound when Jesus died on the cross. And the devil is a wounded animal. His judgment has been determined because of what happened at Calvary. And so therefore, as a wounded animal, read 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, "The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And so the devil is going to the north and the east and the south and the west. He's going to the continents and to the countries and to the islands and to the hamlets and to the villages, trying to wreck and ruin and damn and condemn. He knows his fate has been sealed. He knows that God was speaking the truth when he said that the seed of the woman would bruise your head. So he's a wounded lion seeking whom he may destroy. But the church was prophesied before the foundation of the world, and God's plan was further enhanced and explained in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15. It's interesting as we look at Moses. Moses was one of the greatest prophets, if not the greatest prophet. He was a deliverer. He was a lawgiver. He was a type of Christ. You see, there was trouble in their situation when he was a baby. There was trouble when Jesus was just a baby. Herod tried to kill him. And then Jesus was a lawgiver. Moses was a lawgiver. Moses was the deliverer. Jesus was the deliverer. They were baptized unto Moses before they were able to go into the promised land. We're baptized into Christ before we can get into the promised land. Moses is a type of Jesus Christ. But prophesying some 1400 to 1500 years before Christ, Moses broke from dealing with the commands and dealing with the children of Israel, and he spoke under the inspiration of God. And he said, Deuteronomy 18:15, "The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet like unto me, unto him shall you hearken." How many of you Bible scholars realize that this powerful verse was in the Bible? You see, Genesis 3:15, thousands of years before Christ, the prophecy that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, that was Jesus, would crush and bruise the serpent's head. Now coming on down 1400 to 1500 years before Christ, God puts it in the heart of Moses to write, "The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet." That's Jesus. "The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken." And so Moses was prophesying as one of the greatest, and if not the greatest prophet except Jesus, prophesying about that prophet that was going to come. And Jesus was the prophet that was being prophesied. It's wonderful to read how that God planned for his church, how that God planned for his wonderful kingdom. Then in the book of Isaiah, we have some powerful, powerful material we'll get into next week. But as we come into invitation time, I want to remind you that Jesus died in order to save sinners. And he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." My friend, be born again today. Write us and pray that God will bless this world with preachers and teachers that will rise up and preach the truth about salvation and the truth about the church. Be tuned in next week. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the plan of salvation. And I pray that people will obey from the heart that form of doctrine which you've given us. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational, Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.